Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the CollegeToPro.com Players Platform Show.
Welcome back to another edition of the College to Pro Show. We're featuring the top defensive backs tonight on this College to Pro Show. We're talking with NFL draft expert. If you've been listening, you know who he is. It's Justin Van Fulpen of Texas First and Nation. Tonight we're going to be taking the defensive backs, corners, safeties, breaking them down. Justin's going to be giving you that inside perspective only he can give. And if you missed any of the other podcasts, I recommend that you go back and listen, and we'll be updating as we get closer to the draft, but we've covered all the positions from cornerbacks, quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, tight ends, etc. And then the interior offensive line on both sides and linebackers. Great stuff. A lot of guys that you've heard about and a lot of guys you probably haven't heard about are on those shows. So I recommend you going back. You can listen to them at your leisure. But as promised, Justin Van Fulpen, NFL draft expert. Justin, what's going on, man? We're almost close to Christmas, and Christmas means draft time, draft prospects. Can you believe we're at the final segment of this first series of kind of guys that, I mean, we've done all the positions?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun ride. We've talked about some guys that be rising, and some guys could be sliding, and so this is a fluid situation, and it's never done until the end of April when the teams are on the clock.
Yes, and when I was preparing to get this show set, Justin, I started thinking back, and it kind of made me a little sad because I remember how excited I was for that certain guy from USC that was going pro, and he got taken, who I'm talking about. See that? You're laughing.
It's your boy Taylor Mays,
Taylor Mays.
Cool guy,
that's it,
lack the cover skills.
Loved Mr. Mays, but it just kind of didn't pan out. But that said, let's get to it because we got a lot to talk about, a lot of guys to break down, a lot of listeners anticipating to find out what you're going to bring to the table in terms of who you like and those guys that we don't know of that you know of that we're going to find out about. So as promised, Justin Van Fulpen, NFL draft expert. He's going to talk a little defensive backs with us. So, Justin, with that said, let's go off the top defensive back on your board as of today as we build towards the draft. And who is that guy?
Well, I think it's junior D. Milner from Alabama. I mean, obviously, Alabama's had the luck of really recruiting talented football players and developing them under Nick Saban's system. He does a great job developing guys to go to the next level. And here's another junior who probably declared early after the national championship game, a 6'1", 200-pound physical guy who, people are projecting, hey, could be a top-10 pick. I don't know if he's that valuable right now. I don't know if there's a true shutdown cornerback like a Patrick Peterson, but definitely a guy who's probably the number one cornerback on a lot of people's boards. Again, I think teams are looking at those bigger, more physical cornerbacks with the success that the Seattle Seahawks have had with Brandon Browner and Richard Sherman, both being above, 6 foot, 6'2", 6'3", type guys. And so I think that's what we're trending to see as those bigger cornerbacks here in the NFL.
And definitely. And I'm curious as well. I mean, at least with D, I mean, D is the top guy. Some drafts are different. I mean, is he kind of unless somebody blows up, I know we can't predict the future that far. But, I mean, is he that much above everybody else, or is it still kind of a neck-and-neck race with some of the other guys?
No, I think it's a neck-and-neck race. I mean, let's just jump into number two, and I got Jonathan Banks, the cornerback at Mississippi State. Again, the same size type of guy. He's a senior. He's going to go to the Senior Bowl. Again, I think he's – right there in the mix, to overtake, D. Milner. And then, number three is Xavier Rhodes, another Florida State junior, 6'1", 210. So I think when you start looking at those three, to me, those are the top three cornerbacks in this class. And depending on how they grade out here, if they're at the NFL Combine, Banks, if he does decide, he's invited to Senior Bowl, if he does decide to go ahead and go down to Mobile there and play, we could see some shaking up. But I think those three are the top three athletes, and I think above board any of the other guys that we'll talk about later tonight.
Definitely. And D. Milner, Alabama DB, Mississippi State, Jonathan Banks, and Xavier Rhodes. the top three guys off his boards, and Xavier Rhodes clawed almost 215, over 210 pounds. So he's a big guy out of that group, and Banks is probably the lightest guy out of group. But we all know they're going to be off training, and those numbers are going to probably come back even bigger as we get closer to pro days and whatnot. With those three guys off the board, and though you know, I think that's maybe the first tier of guys, and kind of depending on the team selecting who goes where. Who's the fourth guy on your board?
Well, I think you go to kind of the bloodlines, and teams always like this. If you had a success in the NFL and you've got a brother or a son or anything like that, it kind of the bodes well. And I think that's where you go with Desmond Trufant, the brother of Marcus Trufant, you know, there with the Washington Huskies. Again, another 6 foot, 190-pound corner who's committed to play at the Senior Bowl down there in Mobile. And he's a guy, to me, who's kind of in this whole process, you know, has inched his way up just steadily. He hasn't a guy who just kind of rocketed, but as far as, you know, started, you know, in the middle of packing this, it's kind of, you know, risen up as we've gone through this college football season and shown that, hey, he's a pretty good, talented cornerback.
Definitely, and I like him a lot, too. And I do. I put a lot of emphasis on bloodlines. I just think it's, that makeup, you're around it, you've seen it, you know, and, you know, it's not such a, you know, an open-eyed process, you know, compared to what these other guys go through. You're kind of, you've seen it, and it kind of, you know, you go through it with a little calmer attitude than what some of the guys have, you know, that have not seen this whole draft process, because it can be overwhelming. So we got four guys off the board, and like I said, pretty good mix, all about 6 foot tall, and this is a big class in terms of size. Who's that fifth guy, defensive back, for you?
I like Jordan Poyer from Oregon State, another Pac-12 player. Who's really had a great season and continued to kind of, again, just like Trufant, kind of had a steady rise up there, another Senior Bowl guy, a little bit smaller than the other corners that we talked about earlier, you know, 5'11", 190, but a good guy who's a physical, can, you know, play the run, but also got great ball skills, and we saw that with the interceptions that he's had there at Oregon State, and really helped, you know, Oregon State really kind of rebound as a program, again, there, you know, there in Corvallis.
Definitely. And another Oregon, or I was thinking Oregon Ducks, we're good with that, Oregon State. But Oregon started getting some defensive guys on the board. We're so used to seeing a lot of Oregon State offensive guys going, and Oregon Ducks as well, going offensive. But top five guys, and a good mix. We have two juniors, three seniors. D. Milliner, the Alabama DB, projected at one. Jonathan Banks, Mississippi State, the senior at number two. Number three, we're going down to the state of Florida, FSU's Xavier Rhodes. I like him a lot. And then we're going out west to Washington with Desmond Trufant, the brother of Marcus, former Seattle Seahawk, another senior. And then we wrap it up with another senior staying out west with Jordan Poyer. A nice draft class. With that said, before you even get into the guys that we're not going to be, the guys we might not have heard of, how about a Tyrann Mathieu, the former LSU, the Honey Badger? Where's this kind of kid project, as we move forward?
Well, I think, you know, obviously he's, you know, had a lot of off-the-field issues. The issues to me with him is when you get into those multiple offenses, and then you look at his size. I mean, he's small, had a great return ability. He'll get a shot. You know, I don't think he's not anybody that people are going to, you know, take high. And some teams probably will take him off the board because of, you know, some of those off-the-field transgressions. So it's going to be an interesting process. The biggest thing with him is not in regards to talent-wise. It's just going to be around his interviewing process, how he's going to interview, what's he going to say, how he's going to own up to those mistakes and make sure he doesn't continue to have that, those issues.
Definitely. And we're talking about the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu from LSU. And we're talking with Justin Van Fulpen of Texas First Nation, NFL draft expert. And if you missed any of the other podcasts featuring each position, you can go back to collegepro.com and find those, which feature Justin breaking down the top prospects. We got some big names out there, Justin. Who are some of the smaller school guys that we should start taking notice of?
Well, I think obviously a guy who's going to the Senior Bowl is Robert Alford. Southern Eastern Louisiana. Will Davis from Utah State, not necessarily, you know, that small, school guy. A guy who I really like in regards to a small school guy is the Lane corner back there, Vernon Kearney. I mean, a big 6'1", 180-pound guy who ran 4'4 in the spring. I think he's going to be a guy who's going to rise up on some people's, you know, boards as we go through this process, kind of off the radar. You know, another Mississippi State guy who I like a lot, and I think, you know, is gonna, you're going to see him move up there, is Darius Slay. He played opposite of Jonathan Banks, but he's, again, another 6'1", 200, you know, pound corner who's got long arms and, you know, is really, you know, playing the SEC. So I think we'll see him kind of, you know, creep his way up, you know, up there. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of size, like you had mentioned, in this class. You know, and we'll see how everything plays out here with, you know, some different, you know, some interesting selections, you know, to the Senior Bowl that we've seen, you know, kind of come out here in the next last couple of weeks. So it's going to be see how things play down there in Mobile, and some people could, you know, make a lot of money for themselves, you know, down there, and some people might, you know, be overmatched.
Definitely. And, you know, let's take this opportunity because you mentioned Robert Alford, Southeastern Louisiana. His agent passed away this past week, Albert Elias. If you didn't know Albert, great guy, one of the good ones in the business and a real stand-up guy. And, you know, prayers and blessings to his family as they go through this this time of, you know, his passing. But I know I spoke briefly with Alford and, you know, he was definitely upset when he heard the news as well. So with that said, as a defensive backs, this young man, you know, he gets his agent and he kind of feels settled in and all of that, you know, everything's kind of turned upside down. So, you know, blessings to him, prayers to him too as he makes his push. A lot going on, you know, for these guys, and that's just one less thing, definitely, that you don't ever want to have to deal with the passing of your agent so early. So with that said, Justin, we have the top defensive backs off the board and some of the nice sleepers out there. And Darius Slay, he's a guy I kind of like too. And Vernon Carey, I really like a lot. I think he really nailed one there, the kid from Tulane. I really think he's going to really make some noise. I think out of all the guys, you know, sleepers and whatnot, I think he's one to kind of keep a track on. With that said, we kind of go to the big boys, and we're talking about size, and I think free safeties and safeties. And, Justin, you can just kind of give us your top guys. We don't necessarily have to break them down, free safety or strong safety. You can just kind of give us your guys as you go down, and we'll just kind of go through that process. That sound all right?
Yep.
All right, man. So let's go. You know, we go probably free safety. I assume Eric Reed is the, you know, head and shoulder above guys. But that said, you know, give us your number one guy off the board.
No, I think you nailed it. I mean, obviously, you know, Eric Reed, LSU, probably, you know, underclassman, junior who'll declare early. And a guy who's, you know, can make all the plays and, you know, has got the range and different things like that. Number two, I think you look at Kenny Vaccaro from Texas, another, you know, big, strong, you know, physical safety, you know, out of the University of Texas, who, you know, produced, you know, Earl Thomas in the past, you know, in the first round to the Seattle Seahawks. When you look at the next guy who I really like, it's Philip Thomas out of Fresno State. He led the country in interceptions with 8. Again, 6'1", 215. You know, he'll be down there at the Senior Bowl. And then I think you kind of figure out, okay, hey, to me, those are the top three state safeties. You know, then a guy who's kind of had some off-the-field issues, but makes plays on the field, and that's Bakari Rambo out of Georgia. You know, his interview process, how things work out is going to be, I think, big for him. Rounding that class safeties out, I think we go back to the bloodline, and you go T.J. McDonald out of USC. Obviously, his father played in the NFL, his brother's at UCLA. This guy, you know, big-time hitter, 6'2", 210, you know, another guy we'll see down in Mobile. So those kind of guys are, you know, kind of when I look at the safety class and say, okay, hey, who are my top five? Those are the guys who I like, and I think they're kind of there's kind of a good mix of safeties, you know, and a good as far as top guys, but a good value throughout the round. I think you're going to get some value down there in the 7th, you know, and guys who don't get drafted and are probably free agents who can come in and make an NFL team and make an impact.
Definitely. And then, Justin, you know, bringing up a guy like Bakari, and not to single him out, but just some guys with some, you know, even a Tyrann Mathieu, guys with some character issues that teams, you know, put up some red flags. And, you know, sometimes these guys get it right. You know what I mean? They get to the next level and they really keep their heads clean and everything goes straight. But then sometimes these guys get there and it's just the same pattern of what their question mark was coming into it. How do they kind of snowball these guys? I mean, because we know the process. It's not like, you know, I mean, there's tests. I mean, I know, you know, some teams have, you know, psychologists that are talking to these guys one-on-one, but they still kind of get, you know, blindsided, and then you know they get drafted, and the same issues. How do these guys kind of get past the NFL precautions and still kind of walk away with a good grade and that big high pick?
Well, because I think you've got a battle. I mean, there's a lot of people in there with an opinion, whether it's the area scout, the director of college scouting, the GM, the position coach, the head coach. And so when you're having those discussions, especially on a guy who's got some red flags, you're saying, hey, a lot of people maybe say, hey, we can kind of insulate him, kind of help him through this process. Hey, he just made a mistake. And some guys might say, no, we're taking him off the board. He's, did this. He's already shown what he's, done. I think there's a lot of different opinions that kind of come into that mix. And everybody wants to look for that, hey, second chance guy. Okay, hey. And talent always, wins out at the end, because, hey, this is a business. This is a job. These guys have to win, whether you're the head coach or the GM, because you want to keep your job. So if you've got to bring in a guy who maybe's got some questionable character and he can help you win and you feel like you can help rehabilitate him, whatever manner it is, and kind of help him along, then you do it, unfortunately, the NFL is not made up of all choir boys. There's a lot of good dudes that are in the league, but there are, a handful of guys who do have some questionable character, and that's just what it is. And it's not the NFL. It's any business. It's any, profession. It's Wall Street. I mean, it's just out here in the world, and sometimes the talented guys aren't the guys who you want to marry your sister, So I think that's where it's all said and done.
Definitely, and you're right. The NFL is filled with great, great guys. I don't think they get enough credit for a lot of good gentlemen in the NFL. I think sometimes there's a bad rap with that in regards. So we got free safeties, we've got defensive backs, so let's flip this thing to the strong safety guys and find out. Well, before we get to the strong safeties, any off the, quiet guys that we should start taking notice in the free safety side?
Well, I think you look at Damian Stafford out of Nebraska. He's a guy who's made a ton of plays in the last 2 years, coming from a JC to go into Nebraska, a guy who I really, like a lot. Bradley McDougal from Kansas. Obviously, they had a horrible season, but he's really a talented football player. And I think, you could see him really help himself, in an all-star game, in a setting there. And some of these, Keelan Johnson from Arizona State, not a lot of people are talking about him, but watch, we'll see him get drafted, and a good solid football player there in the Pac-12. So, not so many, small schools guys when we're talking about safeties,
yeah.
But definitely, some good players that are kind of not being talked about.
Definitely. Here's one for you, because I see different grades. Kajon Wiley from Alabama State. I mean, I see some wild different grades. I mean, I've seen him as high as 2. I've seen him as low as 6. I mean, where do you kind of think he kind of falls in when it's, I know it's so early and there's so much, but, I mean, if you had to put a grade on him right now, where do you think he slates?
I mean, I think he's a late-round type of guy, can get drafted. I think the question mark is going to be his long speed. I think in the spring he was in the 4.6s, and that's hard to, and we don't know, maybe it was a hamstring or, maybe it was some different things there. And so until I think they get a true 40 on this guy, I mean, a good football player, from a small school, people are going to question the level of competition. I know he's going to the East-West Shrine Game. He's going to need to go to that Shrine Game and show out and play really well, whether he's invited to the combine or going to his pro day, then, come and perform well and kind of check all the boxes there, measurable, because he's a solid football player, and we'll see how it all pans out.
Nice. And real quick, I mean, it just popped in my mind. If you're an agent for a kid, if you just had to pick one or the other, you want to go to the Senior Bowl or the combine? I mean,
well,
I know they kind of go hand in hand. If you go the one, you're going to probably get invited to the other. But if you only could do one.
Yeah, I mean, I think the standpoint is the combine is what you want, just because it's such a medical, it's such an interview process. The Senior Bowl is great, and the All-Star games are great because it gives an opportunity to kind of show against that higher level of competition. So if I'm a small school guy, I want to go to the Senior Bowl. If I'm a big school guy, I'd rather go to the combine than the Senior Bowl.
Definitely, and that's why we have him on here. He's the NFL draft expert, Justin Van Poulpin, delivering big time for us here on the College to Pro Show as we break down the top defensive backs, corners, free safeties, and strong safeties. We covered corners, free safeties, and now we're looking at the strong safety guys. And this is a good mix. I don't really think there's any slam dunk guys, a good mix of guys. But you know, let's get into this. And these are some of the funner ones. You know, it's kind of not so exciting when you kind of know basically maybe what the patterns are going to be. But with that all said, we're talking strong safeties here. So I'm looking at these guys that roam and make the big hits in the secondary. Who's the one guy, the number one guy off your board?
I think Robert Lester out of Alabama. I mean, he comes back. We talked about earlier in the show, it's Nick Saban, defensive backs, NFL. Robert Lester, 6'2", 215, big-time hitter, kind of struggles in coverage, but a guy who, you know, as far as if you want patrolling that middle and being an impactful guy, you know, he's my number one guy. Same type of a guy, another SEC guy who was in that SEC championship game, you know, kind of number two is that Sean Williams out of Georgia. Both guys I expect to see down in Mobile. And then I think when you after those two guys, then it's a range of different opinions. Some people like Jordan Kovacs out of Michigan, and some people don't. Some people like Duke Williams out of Nevada. Some people don't. I think I would take Duke Williams then Kovacs, and then I'm looking at as far as maybe Matt Elam from Florida if he is a junior if he decides to declare early. So I think there's a lot of different options here and at the strong safety position and we're going to see a lot of these guys in all-star games. I've seen the East-West Shrine game, which surprises me, already has 11 safeties, already committed for that game. So a lot of these guys are going to get opportunities down there in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, definitely. An odd group, like you said, a massive group, but we'll see how that works out down there for the East-West Shrine game. And Justin is the man behind the scenes for Texas versus the Nation, and that takes place February 2nd in Allen, Texas, about 20 minutes north of downtown Dallas. So if you're around the area, if you're looking to see some great all-star guys that are going to make their path towards the next level, I encourage you to get some seats and head to Allen, Texas, a great venue. And like I said, you get to see some of the top prospects from Texas playing versus the Nation, and like I said, a nice group of guys, and we'll be Justin will be sharing those guys with us as we get closer and closest to us, and we'll reveal that team on one of these Texas versus the Nation shows that we'll be doing as we approach this time. But right now we're talking defensive backs and free safety, strong safeties. Any guys off the beaten path, or guys even like I said from big schools that we should start to take notice of?
No, I mean, I think now when we talk about, some of the sleepers, I know a guy who you like a lot, who I think is worthy of an all-star game honors is Rontell Miles from, Cal PA, a big, again, 6 foot, 210, guy who, some people are saying, hey, he's a late round guy, PFA, but I think he can play, at the next level. J.J. Wilcox from Georgia Southern, which was a surprising Senior Bowl invite. I think he can play. Don Jones from Arkansas State. There's some talks about if he goes to the combine that he's a guy who can run in the high 4.3s, low 4.4s. I mean, there's a lot of talent, here at this safety class.
And do you think a little bit of the changing, maybe the guys that are, being sent invites? I mean, Phil Savage takes over for Steve Harry, Steve, left last year. I mean, when Phil Savage steps in, the former GM for Cleveland, do you think that's kind of why we're seeing at least a different flavor down there in Mobile, that, Phil's now in charge and he's kind of taking, the guys he likes, just a different perspective?
Yeah, I think, and that's the whole thing. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're doing the roster, I'm doing the roster, Joe Schmo on the streets doing a roster. We all have our own opinions, and that's sometimes, and especially when you're dealing with this, not everybody agrees with that opinion, and that's fine, and no one's right. What's going to be played out is your opinion 3 years from now. Hey, was J.J. Wilcox a great, selection for the Senior Bowl, or is there other people that would be more deserving of that prestigious number one, hands down, number one, senior all-star game? And I tell every guy, hey, if you get invited to Senior Bowl, go there. I don't care if I invited you, go there. That's the best one to go. Go play down there in Mobile. So could it have been given that invite to someone else? Yes, but I think J.J. Wilcox is a guy who's rising up people's boards, And, you know, and maybe it's good to have somebody who's less known, you know, down there and to be able to kind of star on the big stage. And I definitely wish the best of luck, you know, to him. But it was a lot of people I talked to was surprising that he got, you know, he got one of the Senior Bowl safety invites.
Yeah, definitely. I could agree with that, too. Like I said, there's a lot of bigger school kids, and usually they, you know, that's what you see down in Mobile. Maybe a couple of, you know, smaller school guys from here and there, but most of all, it's really the big hitters making their path to Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. Justin, you know, we've got a couple minutes left, and just to kind of, you know, talk, who are some of the guys that you've gone through this that, you know, maybe one guy that you kind of maybe written off early in the process, and, you know, when it was finally said and done, he kind of persuaded you in terms of him getting drafted or even merging in the NFL. I mean, who, anybody kind of stand out to a guy you weren't high on, and lo and behold, and then vice versa, give me a guy that you really thought was a, you know, a can't-miss candidate, and then, you know, they got to that next level, and they just, you know, their careers just never panned out.
Well, let's say at a position that you like, and you've talked about a lot, you know, on your tweets and different things, that's the wide receiver position. You know, as far as Mike Williams is a guy who I really thought, you know, would have been, you know, a big physical guy. You know, you saw what he did at USC, and yeah, he had some issues for running the 40, but that was something that, you know, people were like, oh, well, Jerry Rice, you know, had issues and different things like that. And really, he never materialized. You know, he never materialized being that, you know, top, you know, 10 pick, you know, and obviously being a Detroit Lions fan, you know, was excited, you know, about him, you know, being drafted. And just hadn't done it. And then same thing with you know, a guy like Demetrius Moore from the Oakland Raiders, a guy who was, you know, down at the Texas First Nation game, and really didn't think, you know, hey, he would be a guy who, what he's done with the Raiders, but he's done great. Same with Pierre Garçon, you know, another guy who was down at the Texas First Nation game, no one really gave a shot, from a D3 school, and now what he's done. You know, so I think that's, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, then it's not about getting to the NFL, because a lot of guys can get to the NFL. It's about sticking in the NFL and being successful and having longevity. And that's really what separates those guys. And so, you know, and so it doesn't matter. And that's what I try to, when I talk to guys and different things like that, it doesn't matter what all-star game you go to. It doesn't matter what you draft. It matters once you get in that training camp. And all these guys we talked about over these many shows that we've had, they're all going to a training camp, and it's going to be what they're going to do. And we see more and more every year. You know, I don't know what the stat is. I'm going to throw something out there, and somebody's probably going to adjust you 100% wrong. I think it's 30% of, you know, NFL rosters are made up of undrafted rookie free agents, or something to that similar manner. And I'm sure some of our listeners can go out there and check, you know, check my facts there on that. But I think, you know, there's a lot of guys who are undrafted rookie free agents who make it in the NFL.
And if Justin's wrong, you can reach him on Twitter at @JVanFulpin. That's his Twitter account. And if Justin's wrong, remember he said 99% of all he said 30% of guys. So bad. At Justin, at @JVanFulpin. No Justin, just the @JVanFulpin. You can follow him on Twitter. And like I said, I think that's a great point. Because like I said, there's a lot of guys, and you really hit a great one too, receivers. I mean, you really talk about a hit or miss position, and seems like, you know, there's always a litany of these guys getting drafted very high in the first, second rounds, and the, you know, the amount of guys that when they flop, they really flop, and if they're successful, you can have some great ones. Well, Justin, man, I can't wait to get started with the, you know, another round of these shows as we get closer, and it'll be kind of fun to see how, you know, some of the opinions change as the stocks kind of drop and rise as we move towards the process. But hey, man, Merry Christmas to you, Happy New Year. We'll be talking next week, and hopefully, you know, and like I said, you have a good Christmas. Stay safe. I think that, are you getting snow yet?
No snow in Michigan yet. So right. Hopefully, we can avoid that as long as possible. So I don't know what is like over there in your neck of the woods there on the east
right,
side of the
but
country.
But the snow's coming. I love the snow, man. I can't wait. So I got the snow shovel ready. I got the snow boots.
You know.
No. You've won big. No athletic too. Yeah, you totally hit it. Maybe you shouldn't do evaluations, Justin. I'm 3'7". I look up to CeeLo Green. When I stand next to CeeLo Green, I look up to him. I'm like,
Well, definitely. I mean, you can play corner. I mean, that's where I projected you, cornerback.
Beautiful. Hey, man, again, Justin, as always, you're the best. We appreciate you sharing with us. And like I said, have a Merry Christmas, brother.
Thanks. Thank you, too. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Once again, that is Texas First and Nations, Justin Van Fulpen. You can follow him on Twitter, at JVanFulpen. And he's the guy behind the scenes putting that team together. As always, we appreciate you folks listening. Have a terrific Happy New Year and a Merry Christmas.
This has been a CollegeToPro.com exclusive.